Well, we are looking into the future once again in Revelation chapter number 20. That's where we are this morning. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of the Revelation chapter number 20. Let me encourage you, the future is exciting for the child of God. Amen. Revelation chapter number 20. We are nearing the end of the book. Let's read verses 1 to 10 this morning. Revelation chapter number 20, verse 1 says, "And I saw." That is John's favorite saying in this book. Now, what did John see of the future? "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up," amen, "and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we need your help to see what John saw of the future written down in the Word of God for us this morning. Lord, help us, we pray, to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher this morning. May he fill each born-again Christian. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. Help us, Lord, to be prepared for the future. And Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here this morning who is not sure that their sins are forgiven and that their eternity is safe with you. And Lord, I do pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. Teach us, we pray. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. Amen. Now, as we come to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20, I'm reminded for nearly 2,000 years, millions of people have prayed these words: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as we come to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20, my friends, those millions of prayers of those many saints are finally answered. Here we come to see the kingdom of God upon earth, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ during the millennium. Last week in chapter 19, we saw that Christ returns to earth upon a white horse. He returns as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. And then he establishes his earthly kingdom and will rule and reign for 1,000 years. The word millennium means 1,000. That's why we describe this chapter as the millennial reign of Christ. It means 1,006 times in this chapter the statement 1,000 years is made. And do you know that some people believe that this is just a spiritual statement? It doesn't literally mean 1,000 years. Well, as Bible-believing Christians this morning, we believe what the Bible says. Amen. When God says 1,000 years, He means 1,000 years. And as we come to the last chapters of the book of the Bible, this is an exciting time for Christians. As we come to the end of the book, my friends, these verses, these chapters bring together all the prophecies of the Word of God into one final ending that is the hope and the thrill of all the children of God. Amen. The last days, the glorious reign of Christ upon earth. Now, the exciting thing for the believer this morning is that we will rule and reign with Him during the millennium. To simplify this chapter, we're going to look at three things this morning. Firstly, the removal of Satan. Secondly, the reign of Christ. Thirdly, the ruin of Satan. Notice with me, first of all, as we launch into this chapter, the removal of Satan. The Bible says before the millennium begins, God will take the devil out of the way. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon." Here we see an angel from heaven chains up the devil. Now, we don't know which angel this might be, but you remember a few chapters ago when there was war in heaven, it was Michael the archangel that led the armies. So perhaps it's Michael the archangel that takes this great chain and chains up the devil. Notice the period of his imprisonment. The Bible says that the angel laid hold on the dragon, verse 2, and bound him for how long? 1,000 years. That is the length that the devil will be bound. Now, there's no question who the Lord is speaking about this morning, because the Lord gives us all the titles of the devil, does He not? The dragon. Why is Satan called the dragon? Why? Because he is roaming about the earth seeking whom he may devour. Fierce, violent character. He is described as a serpent, because he is always seeking to deceive. He's a liar, is he not? And the father of it. He's described as the devil. The devil also describes his deception. He's always looking for someone to deceive. And Satan is the adversary. He's always looking for someone to defeat. That is who he is. And though we may look around in the world and we might think that the devil has the upper hand this morning, let me remind you that he is not all-powerful. He is a created being. And God will have the final word in the end. Amen. One day, the devil will get what's coming to him. The period of his imprisonment is 1,000 years. Notice the place that he is imprisoned. Verse 3. "And cast him into the bottomless pit." Now, do you remember in Revelation chapter 9 what came out of the bottomless pit? Do you remember the pit was open and demonic creatures came out of the bottomless pit and tormented mankind upon the earth during the tribulation? Well, before the millennium begins, the Bible tells us that the devil will become a prisoner of the pit. Amen. The prince of the power of the air not only was cast out of heaven in previous chapters, he was cast down to the earth. Now he will be cast into the pit. And let me encourage you to be glad this morning that the devil is going down. Down, down, and further down. Satan will be cast into the prison for 1,000 years, and he will be the prisoner of the bottomless pit. Now, don't get distracted this morning. The devil's not happy about what we're going to learn. Let me encourage you to pay attention. That's the place of his removal. Notice the purpose of his removal in verse 3. The Bible says in verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit," and what are the next words? "And shut him up." Those are my favorite words in these verses. "And shut him up." Why is the devil bound and put away because he is a liar, because he is a deceiver. What's the main feature of the devil? His lying, filthy mouth. And all of us here this morning have been deceived by the devil at one point or the other. He is a deceiver. But let me encourage you, brethren, one day he will be shut up for 1,000 years. The world today is deceived by the devil. The world today is listening to the lies of the devil, are they not? They're listening to his whisperings in their ear. For thousands of years, the devil has whispered in the ears of man. And it began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And it's continued on throughout history. In fact, as you look back throughout history, you can see the great lies of the devil. The lies to follow the lusts of the world. The lusts of power. The lusts of depraved sexual immorality. The lust for money. The lust for fame. The lust for pleasure. Maybe some of you this morning, even as Christians, can look back at some of the lies of the devil you believed. Now remember, the devil is a liar. He will be put away. He will be shut up for 1,000 years. And what a wonderful time that will be. Imagine the earth, without the devil. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful age. 1,000 years, the devil will be removed. No more adversary. No more accuser. And no more demonic activity upon the earth. You know, frankly, I'm a bit frightened to turn on the news these days, to have a look at what's happening on the news, because there are some things happening that are beyond words, so desperately wicked that sometimes I think we shouldn't even read them. That's how defiling and sick they are. But let me encourage you, one day the devil, the defiler, the wicked one, will be removed. Now that sets the stage for the millennium. There will be the removal of Satan, and then there will be the reign of the Lord. The reign of the Lord. Revelation chapter 20, notice verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, when we come to these verses, we are reminded that the devil will be removed and the Lord Jesus Christ will reign. This is his 1,000-year reign upon earth. Now, just as a quick review, remember last week we looked at the return of the Lord. The Lord Jesus comes at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. He comes to defeat the enemies at Armageddon. When the battles are defeated, and the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, the Bible tells us that he will judge the nations. The sheep will be separated from the goats. Those who are saved, that survive the tribulation, will enter into the millennium in living bodies, alive. Those who are unsaved will be cast into hell. And the Lord's feet will touch down upon the Mount of Olives, and the Bible tells us that the mountain will split in two. The Lord will transform the natural environment, the spiritual environment, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, not all the details of the millennium are given to us in these verses, but what God wants to tell us here next in chapter 20, he wants to tell us about the people of his reign. The people of his reign. Notice verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, who are these people that sit upon thrones with the Lord Jesus Christ? Come back to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter number 5. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. Now we're going to be looking at a few verses this morning, so please look with me. Revelation chapter number 5, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. Verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Do you remember this song of the saints? Do you remember in chapter 5 we saw how the saints surround the throne? The 24 elders are seated upon thrones representing the children of God. And there is the worship around the throne praising the Lord. And there is the prophecy that we will rule and reign with Him. Brethren, if chapter number 4 and John's call to come up hither is a picture of the rapture, then who is it that is surrounding the throne in chapter 5? My friend, it is God's people. It is you and I as Christians. When we are raptured, we will be with the Lord around His throne. We will return with Him. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we will rule and reign with the Lord during the millennium. That is the exciting future for the child of God. Returning with the Lord and living with Him for 1,000 years. Now think about that. 1,000 years. That's a long time. Reigning with the Lord. Now, by that time, we will have new bodies. We'll be transformed during the rapture. Amen? We'll receive new resurrection bodies, eternal bodies. When we return with the Lord, we will have those same eternal bodies. And the Lord will set up His new government upon the earth. And He will use His people to govern the world. He will rule with a rod of iron, and then He will use His servants to serve Him during the millennium. Imagine that. Imagine what an exciting privilege, an exciting joy that will be to serve the Lord during the 1,000 year reign of Christ. I remember one preacher preaching about prophecy the year I graduated from college, and he said to me this. He said, "Look, I just want to be faithful to the Lord today because I have asked the Lord to give me the island of Hawaii to serve Him in during the millennium." Now, we don't know how the Lord will set up His government. We don't know exactly the details of what He will do, but one thing we do know is this. Now, listen carefully. This is for Christians this morning. Our service to the Lord today will determine our service for the Lord in the millennium. Let me say that again. Our faithfulness and service to the Lord today will determine our service for the Lord in the millennium. You might say, "Pastor, where in the Bible does it say that?" Well, Revelation chapter number 2. Look with me at this letter to the church in Thyatira. Remember chapter 2 written to churches like you and I, in the church age. Revelation chapter number 2. Notice verse 26 and 27. In fact, let's look at verse 25. 26 and 27. Revelation chapter number 2. The Bible says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." The Lord is pleading for faithfulness to His word. Faithfulness to His work. Verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Verse 27, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall there be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father." You see, the Bible tells us if we are faithful as Christians in this life, the Lord will use us to serve Him in the millennium. If we are serving the Lord today, the Lord will allow us to serve Him in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, do you remember the parable of the talents? Those of you who have been attending Wednesday night, do you remember the Lord gave talents to all of His servants? And every single Christian in this room this morning has been given spiritual gifts, talents and abilities that have been designed and embedded within you spiritually to serve the Lord with. And then the Lord returned. The Master returned and He took account of His servants. And He asked them, "What did you do with the talents I gave you?" Do you remember what He said to the faithful servant? In verse number 23 of Matthew chapter 25, His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You see, faithfulness today results in 1,000 years of privilege in serving the Lord. Now, I can't tell you all the details, but I can tell you this much. If we don't serve the Lord today, He won't use us to serve Him in the millennium. Now, what will that mean? I do not know. I did hear one preacher say that if we don't live for the Lord today, if we refuse to serve Him today, if we live for ourselves, the Lord Jesus may just well give us a golden shovel and ask us to dig the highway to Jerusalem that will lead into all nations. Now, I'm not sure, but let me assure you, the Lord wants to reward His servants. Amen? And my, what a challenge to us this morning. 1,000 years. Now, if you think 70 years, which the Bible says is a long life, if you think 70 years is long, it's not. The Bible says life is but a vapor. 70 years is gone in an instant. Imagine what that 1,000 years will be like. Amen? 1,000 years will seem like an eternity. Isn't it worth it to serve the Lord today? My friends, as Christians, we are preparing for the millennial reign of Christ. We are not preparing for heaven. We are preparing for the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we serve Him today, He will use us to serve Him tomorrow. Let me encourage you this morning to get busy for God before it's too late. The rapture is coming. The return of the Lord is nigh. If He comes today, will we have anything to show for the life that we have lived? What a challenge to get busy, amen? Well, that's up to you and I as Christians. If you want to get busy in the month of December, let me encourage you to be in church. Let me encourage you to be faithful in your witness. Let me encourage you to come and find me if you don't know what to do. There are plenty of things to do in this church to serve the Lord with. But the question is, are you ready for the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Are you ready? What an encouragement to serve the Lord today. What a reward to serve the Lord then. Notice verse number 4. We've seen the saints represented back in chapter 20. If you turn with me back there. Notice verse number 5. Excuse me, verse number 4, the second half. The Bible says, here's the next group of people. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now these were those who lived during the tribulation. These were those who were saved during the tribulation. During that 7 year of catastrophic judgment, praise God, souls will still be saved. The nation of Israel will be saved. Gentiles will be saved. And there will be millions that will die for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ because they say no to the world, they say no to the devil, they do not take His mark, and they die for the faith of the gospel. The Bible tells us that these are the overcomers. And they overcame Him how? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. These two will return with the Lord Jesus Christ at the millennium. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we will be walking around with these tribulation martyrs. And by the way, let me say this. There won't be any question to whether these ones were faithful. There won't be any question to whether these ones serve the Lord. There won't be any question to whether these ones witnessed for the Lord, because they gave their very lives. They shed their very blood for the witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, do we not want to stand there with them rejoicing? Would we want to avoid standing with them ashamed? In this day of grace, in this age of grace that we live in, where we have complete freedom to preach the gospel, to be in the millennium next to the tribulation martyrs and say that we didn't utter the gospel of Jesus Christ, what a shame. What a challenge for us to be a witness today. We will be with them. And by the way, we will also be with those who are alive after the tribulation. They too will be there. These are the people of His reign. See, the Lord will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and His saints will be with Him. We will be with Him. What an amazing time that will be. Now, the Lord chooses at this stage to tell us and describe to us the two resurrections that are in the Bible. Notice with me in verse number 5. We've seen the tribulation martyrs. Notice the two resurrections. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now notice carefully, those described in verse number 5 are not alive on the earth during the millennium. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were over. This is a separate group. They are not on the earth. They are not with the Lord during His millennial reign. These are the unsaved of the world. These are those who rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible tells us that at the end of the 1,000 years, they will be brought before the great white judgment throne and will be judged for their sins. Notice verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, there are two resurrections in the Bible. There is the first, there is the second. The first resurrection is for those who are saved. The second resurrection is for those who are lost. The first resurrection leads to blessing and ruling and reigning with the Lord for 1,000 years. The second resurrection leads to damnation and judgment and the lake of fire. Verse 5 tells us that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is all the unsaved. They will not be present in the millennium. They will not be on the earth during this time. We'll look at what happens to them next week. But notice with me in your Bibles that there are two resurrections. Do you realize, as Brother Rees mentioned during our prophecy conference, the fact that Christ is risen from the dead guarantees the resurrection of every soul that ever lived. Because Christ is risen, everyone that ever lived one day will rise again. Some will be raised unto the Lord, and others will be raised unto judgment. The question is, which group are we in? Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? My friends, millions of people around the world pray empty, meaningless prayers. Why? Because they want to go to heaven. Very few, my friends, turn from their sins, hating their wicked sins, and turning to Christ as their Savior and asking Him to save them once and for all, to be their loving personal Savior forever. There's a big difference in repentance and praying a prayer. Let me ask you this morning, which group will you be in? Will you be within the first resurrection or the second? My friend, when we breathe our last breath, it is too late. If you're not sure this morning, let me encourage you to make sure before it's too late. You see, those involved in the first resurrection include the saved. How do we know that? Well, look with me in chapter number 20. Now, don't be confused. In verse 5, John says, this is the first resurrection. He's not talking about what was said in verse 5. Before that, he's talking about those who are seated upon thrones, those who are the tribulation martyrs. Notice verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Just to make it simple, during the millennium the saved will be present. The unsaved will not. They will be raised after the 1,000 years are over to be judged by the Lord Jesus himself. These are the people of his reign. Now, here's another exciting fact. Do you realize that all the saved will be present during the millennium? That means as we walk up and down the streets of Jerusalem, remade by the Lord, we will walk past a man named Moses, and a man named Abraham, and a man named Elijah, and a lady named Sarah, and another lady named Rahab, the great heroes of the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. My friends, we will be walking upon the earth with the saints of God, with the tribulation martyrs, with the Old Testament saints. What an exciting day that will be. And I wonder what we will be talking about during that time. My friends, I think we'll be talking about the Lord. I think we ought to get right today, amen, and start serving the Lord and start living by faith. So when we get to the millennium, we can say, praise God, I had the opportunity to live by faith. Praise God, I had the opportunity to serve the Lord. My friends, this is the millennium. What an amazing time it will be upon the earth, the people of his reign. Now, before we move on, sometimes the question is asked, what about those who are saved that survive the tribulation? Because there will be people, Jews and Gentiles, that will survive the 7 years of destruction upon the earth. What will happen to them? Well, they will go alive, living into the 1,000 years. They will go alive into the millennial reign of Christ. But they will be different from us. They will have real human bodies. They will have flesh and blood bodies. Those who are saved and with the Lord, those who have died in the Lord before the rapture and during the tribulation, will return with resurrection bodies. Now, those who are alive at the end of the tribulation that are saved, they will go into the millennial reign of Christ. We'll see that later. But because of the conditions upon the earth, they will live long lives, they will have children, and the earth will be repopulated once again. What an amazing day it will be. When we look at the reign of Christ, we see the people of his reign, don't we? The people of his reign. Now notice the prophecies of his reign. The prophecies of his reign. The Bible says in verse 6, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What will conditions be like on the earth during those 1,000 years? Now there are so many verses in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that we can't possibly look at them together this morning. But we're going to look at a few just in the book of Isaiah. I hope that's okay. Let's look at the Old Testament this morning. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. Now this is a popular verse at this time of the year. Isaiah chapter number 9. Notice verses 6 and 7. Now keep your fingers in the book of Isaiah. We'll be looking at a few verses. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now that's the past. That is the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now skip forward a few thousand years, and I won't give you the date, but notice the future and the second coming of the Lord, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with judgment from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. My friends, Christ is coming again. How do we know? Because he has already come. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And when Christ comes again, my friends, he will rule and reign as the king of the earth for 1,000 years, and it will be a reign of peace. The Prince of Peace. My friends, when the Prince of Peace comes, there will be perfect peace upon the earth. There will be no more wars. Amen. There will be no more battles fought. Notice with me, we're in the book of Isaiah. Look at chapter number 2. These are the prophecies of his reign. Notice the conditions on the earth. Isaiah chapter 2. Stay with me this morning. Let's look at a few verses together. Isaiah chapter 2. Notice verses 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. The Bible tells us that there will be a highway going out from the city of God, going out from Jerusalem to every part of the earth. And the entire world will flow into the city of God to worship the Lord. Notice the Bible tells us in verse 3 of chapter 2. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What an exciting day that will be. My friends, we won't be meeting together as a church any longer. We will be going to the city of God to hear from the Lord Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the great teacher. And what we see in this time of the 1,000-year reign of the Lord, He will teach the Word of God. He will instruct the Word of God. The whole world will come to Jerusalem to be taught by the Lord. My, what an exciting day that will be. Notice verse number 4 in chapter 2. Are you still with me this morning? Verse number 4, what does the Bible say? And He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords, their weapons of war, into plowshares, farming equipment, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. My friends, the armaments of the earth will be recycled. Amen? Yes, they'll be recycling during the millennium. Now, that only can be perfectly done when the perfect King reigns. Amen? And the weapons of war of the earth will be remade into weapons of everyday life. Work tools, equipment. Yes, there'll be work in the millennium. And the ground will be fruitful, the Bible says, because the Lord will change the conditions of the earth. No more will the ground be dry and parched and drought-filled, my friends. Though there is a great drought in many countries of the world, in the millennium there will be not. The ground will produce abundantly. The ground will be fruitful. No one will be poor. No one will be unemployed. And there will be perfect peace and no more war in the millennium. Isaiah chapter 4, notice with me. We're still in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3. What's one of the main features of the millennium? Verse 3 says, "And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem." What will characterize the millennial reign of Christ? The word holiness. Holiness will spread throughout the world. Holiness will touch every part of every man's life, everyone's life. Holiness is a feature of the millennium. If we go on, we will see righteousness and peace will characterize the millennium. The Bible says that justice will characterize the millennium. My friends, there will be no more injustice. There will be no more crime. There will be no more rape. Amen. There will be no more massacres. There will be no more terrorism. Amen. Because the Lord will rule with a rod of iron. And He will enact justice Himself from His very throne. There will be fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. God's glory will be unlimited at all seen. There will be protection for all. And let's not forget, is there a need for the millennium? Some people say there is no millennium. Why do we need a 1,000-year reign of Christ? Because that is the time period that God has set aside to fulfill all the prophecies to the nation of Israel. Remember, God promised them the land. Now, when did that take place? When did they have the whole land that God promised them? Where is Ezekiel's millennial temple? Where is it? It has never been built. My friends, it will be established in the millennium. You see, God will establish His 1,000-year reign to fulfill the prophecies and the promises to the nation of Israel. Amen. They'll have a new heart and a Lord and will serve Him. And the focus of this time period will be the worship of the Lamb. The temple in Jerusalem will be the focus of the world's worship. Now, these are some of the spiritual blessings of this time. Now, what about the material blessings? What about the material blessings? Now, Isaiah 65, just a few more verses to go. Isaiah 65, as we look at the prophecies of His reign. Now, these are described as the pleasures of His reign. Notice Isaiah 65, verse 25. Isaiah 65 and verse 25. Let's read this verse together out loud, shall we? Just to make sure we're all awake. I know it's hot, but don't miss what the Lord has for us in verse 25. Let's read it together on two. One, two. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. You see, during the millennium, God will not only change the spiritual conditions, but He will transform the environmental conditions. The Bible says that the wolf and the lamb will feed together. Now that is literal. Animals of prey will no longer eat one another. They will be friendly. You see, the Lord will remove some of the effects of the curse. Remember when man fell in the Garden of Eden, no longer were animals subject to man. Animals became man's enemy. Now you need to stay out of the water at summertime, which is the time of the year that all of us would love to have a swim, amen, in the ocean. What an irony. Doesn't it remind us about the sin-cursed world we live in? We need to stay out of the water. Why? Because of the stingers, because of the crocs, because of the sharks, etc., etc. My friends, one day there will be no enemy among the animals. Animals will not be our predators anymore. Animals will be what God had created them to be initially, the companions for mankind. Man will have dominion over the animals, and we will see the removal of the curse. Amazing. What a day that will be. You know, it's an exciting thing to take your children to the zoo and to tell your children one day in the millennium, you'll be able to pet a lion. You'll be able to play with a lion and a tiger and a bear. Amen? What an amazing reality. The removal of the curse. Sickness will also be removed. The Bible tells us that there will be long lives lived during the millennium. Notice Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20. I made it easy for you this morning. I bunched the verses together. Isaiah 65 verse 20. The Bible says, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." The Bible tells us that there will be long lives during the millennium. You see, it's believed that the long lives in the Old Testament, the environment in the Garden of Eden will be restored. People will live for a long time. There will still be death, but people will live for a long time during the millennium. And there will be families during the millennium. Those that survive the tribulation will go into this 1,000 years, and there will be marriage, they will have children, and their children will have children, and the earth will be repopulated once again. What an amazing time that will be. What a blessing. Now, if you're wondering here this morning, now if I am a Christian and return with Christ, will I have children and families? The answer is no. Those that survive will have families, but we will have resurrection bodies. We will be eternal beings. Amen. Now, we don't have time to go into the details of that. In fact, God doesn't give us all the details. But those who survive the tribulation will have children. They will have children. And everyone will have joy as the king's subjects. As we close this portion and move back to Revelation chapter 20, do you notice, as we've talked about some of these conditions, this is the golden age of mankind that everyone on the world is looking for. The world today is seeking for a perfect world of peace, are they not? The world today is seeking for a perfect place of peace, of health, no war, the environment being perfect as it can be. That's the world that we live in. Now, do you notice that the social and environmental conditions that mankind is trying to achieve today will only happen when? It will happen. But it will only happen when? What an irony. It will only happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign upon this earth. What foolishness of man to try and transform this earth into a paradise without God. My friends, only when Christ comes to reign during the 1,000 years will this world be transformed. When He has His rightful place, will this golden age of man come. You see, when the Prince of Peace comes, there will be peace upon the earth. Until then, there will not. Amen? Until then, there will be not. And by the way, I haven't spent much time on it this morning for a reason. I hope you can see through these verses that we are not in the millennium right now. Who would agree to that?
Yes.
There are some people that call themselves millennialists, big word, that believe that there is no millennium. That the 1,000-year reign of Christ in the Bible is not literal, it's spiritual, and we are in the spiritual millennium right now.
Yes.
And Christ is ruling and reigning upon His throne upon the earth. And Satan is bound. That's why I didn't spend much time on it. Let me ask you this morning, is Satan bound in the bottomless pit, yes or no?
No.
My Bible tells me, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roameth about seeking whom he may devour. My friends, he is not bound. He is the prince and the power of the air. My Bible tells me there is not perfect peace upon the earth. In fact, the world tells me that too. Have you realized that we don't live in a day of perfect peace? And let me tell you that this false teaching is a part of the apostasy of the last days. You see, compromised, heretical, apostate churches are saying this: as Christians, what we need to do is to change this world into the millennium conditions described in the Bible. We need to work on bringing peace to the world. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
As Christians, we need to be trying to eradicate poverty. Now, there's nothing wrong in giving some food to those in need, but my friend, this is not the mission that God has left us here for. God has left us here for one reason and one reason alone: to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And apostates around this world and in this city will have you and I to feel guilty for not being involved in every charity under the sun, because that's what they think that Christians are called to do. When we bring to this world as Christians the conditions of the millennium, then we will experience the joy of the Lord. That's not what the Bible says. My friends, there will not be peace on earth without Christ on the earth. There will not be perfect health and no poverty. My friends, don't be deceived. I'm not saying don't give to a worthy cause. But what does God say in His Word? We are to give to missions. Amen. We are to give to missionaries. They are doing the greatest work. As I've often said before, you can give a loaf of bread to someone who's hungry. They might live another day, but if they receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the bread of life, which is Christ, they will live how long? Forever. Sometimes we get a bit confused, don't we? What should we be involved in? We should be involved in missions. We should be involved in the work of the local New Testament church. What are we involved in building as Christians? Least of all our own lives, amen. We need to be at work. The millennium is coming. Perfect peace will only come when the Lord reigns. And this is the description of the reign of Christ in Revelation chapter number 20. The people of His reign, the prophecies of His reign, and then the pleasure of His reign. I hope you're excited. I hope you're looking forward to this day. Even the verses we've read cannot fully allow us to comprehend what is ahead. In closing, let me share with you these last verses. We've seen the removal of Satan. We've seen the reign of Christ. Let us close with the ruin of Satan. The ruin of Satan. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, if you're falling asleep this morning, let me wake you up. These are the very last verses on the pages of the Word of God and on the pages of history that mention the devil. This is his end. This is his final ruin. The ruin of Satan. Verse 7 says he is loosed out of his prison. Why would God open up the prison doors and allow the devil back upon the earth at the end of the millennium to do his deceiving work? Why? Well, let's have a look together. Notice in verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. You see, God will use this time to judge the devil. Can you see how the devil not only goes out to deceive, but he's deceived himself? He's still as rebellious and as foolish and as completely deceived to think that he can destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. He is loosed out of his prison and he goes across the four corners of the earth to gather together an army to fight against the Lord. What amazing delusion. Not only is he the father of lies, that he's lying to himself. He's deceived. The devil is deceived himself, and God will use this time to judge him once and for all. Notice he deceives the nations. He deceives the nations. My friends, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Now, he will go to the four corners of the earth, verse number 8, to gather to Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. My, what an army. What numbers, the Bible says. They are like the sand of the sea. Where will, here's the question, isn't it? Where will the devil get his army from during the millennium? I mean, who would fall for his lies? Now, this is something we need to understand. When we learn about this 1,000-year reign of Christ, we need to remember that millions of people will enter into the millennium alive. They will have real bodies. They will have real souls. And they will be married and have children themselves. And their children will have children. Now, how many of you agree with me that just because you're saved as a parent doesn't mean your children are automatically saved? They too need to make the same choice you did at a point in your life to repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, the same happens during this 1,000-year reign. There'll be millions of people alive. There'll be children born, but they too will need a Savior. They too will be born with a sin nature. Do you notice the one thing in the conditions of the millennium that I did not mention? That there will be no presence of sin. Yes, there will be sin in the millennium. That's why the Lord will rule with a rod of iron. There will still be death in the millennium. The curse of sin and death will have not been removed yet. There'll still be sinners upon the earth. And they will need to trust in Christ themselves. There'll be many that will be religious during the millennium. You know what they will do? They will go to the temple. Young people, listen up very carefully. They will go to the house of God and they will follow in the practices in the house of God. They will give lip service to obedience to God, but in their heart, they are not saved. They have not received Christ. They are religious outwardly. They go along with the flow, knowing that there will be a consequence, but in their heart, they do not believe they are wicked sinners desperately in need of a Savior. And there will be a generation of people that will grow up during the millennium that won't be saved. And these are the ones that the devil will lie to and bring to himself. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will release the devil not only to judge Satan, but also to test the nations. Who's saved during the millennium out of those who survived? And who is not? My, what a time that will be. What a time that will be. Even with perfect conditions on the earth, listen carefully, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wow. There's so much to speak about here. Do you realize the devil's removed? And there are still those who reject Christ? My friends, don't blame the devil this morning. The heart of man is wicked. The devil is out of the picture. And there are still those who reject Christ. And the world says today, hey, if we want a perfect earth, well, we need a perfect education system. If we want a perfect earth, we need a perfect government. People on the earth today, hey, if we want to fix the world, we need to fix the environment. We need to get rid of God in order to have a perfect world. My friends, you can take a sinner and put him in a mansion and his heart will be just as wicked as it ever was. Why? Because the world will not change until the heart of man changes. How does the heart of man change? Well, Jesus said, you must be born again. Man needs a Savior, not a change in government. Man needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing will ever change the human heart except Jesus Christ. Notice he deceives. Lastly, he is doomed. Are you still with me this morning? These are the last verses that mention the existence of the devil. Verse number 10. Verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed, encircled around the camp of the saints about. Imagine that. And the beloved city. Can you imagine the defiance and the rebellion and the hatred of God in the heart of these ones who are lost, thinking that they can destroy the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth? Notice the mighty power of God in verse 9. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. What a mighty show of God's power and God's glory. Here is the last words of Satan, about Satan in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire forever. That is his ruin. And let me remind you, the devil is on his way down. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, and we serve the King of Kings. Don't be fooled, Christians, into believing the lies of the devil. He is going down, and he is going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. You know, many people today, again, here's another form of apostasy, another lie in the world today, that hell is not an eternal place of suffering. There are people that call themselves Bible-believing Christians and believe that the moment a lost person dies, they are annihilated. They disappear from existence. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that when a person dies that is not in the faith, they will sleep and disappear from existence. They will be annihilated. They will disappear. There are some that say hell is not eternal. Can I call your attention to a detail that God gives us in verse number 10, very clearly. Who is there in the lake of fire with the devil? The beast and the false prophet. Question. When were they cast into the lake of fire? Come back with me to chapter number 19. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. When did this happen? At the end of the tribulation, is that correct? Before the millennium. How long have they been in the lake of fire? Question. Well, if I do my maths correctly, it's 1,000 years. Back to chapter 20 and verse 10. The Bible says, does it not? Look with me there. Where the beast and the false prophet were. Is that correct? No. It's where they are. Look at me this morning, please. Hell is forever. The lake of fire is an eternal place of torment. If you are there is no escape. If you are there, it is forever. There is no destruction in hell. There is no annihilation in hell. The Bible says they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My friends, do we not need a fresh picture of the lake of fire this morning to help us to be urgent about the business of the gospel? Even as Christians, we live as if there is no hell. We live as if there is no lake of fire. My friends, even sometimes we wishfully think there's some way out. God says there is not. Forever and ever and ever. Is hell eternal? Yes, it is. Is it a place of suffering? Yes, it is. Tormented day and night. Does this destroy the idea that there is no hell? Yes, it does. Does this destroy the false teaching that people will be wiped out from existence in hell? Yes, it does. Christians, this morning, the lake of fire is real. It is a real place. We need to be faithful witnesses of the Lord today. As we conclude, let me ask you this morning, where will you spend eternity? Will you be part of the first resurrection or the second unto damnation? If you're not sure, you need to make sure before it's too late. Hell is forever. Hell is forever. Young people, listen carefully. Christianity isn't about keeping rules. You see, this generation in the millennium kept the rules of their parents, but they did not choose to have the faith of their parents. They grew up following all the rules, the patterns, the worship style, just to conform to what they knew was right, but in their heart they were still rebels against the Lord. My friends, my Bible tells me that when we are saved, there is a supernatural transformation that takes place in the heart of the sinner. A transformation that turns darkness into light. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And he's becoming newer every day. The question is, have you been saved? My friends, if you prayed a prayer and you went back to your old sins just like before and you still love them today and you're still stuck in them today, let me assure you, you are not saved. And there is an eternal place called the lake of fire, and some of you young people are playing games with God. God does not play games. He is holy. He is just. And His gift of love is available today if you need to be saved. The question is, are you saved? If you're not sure, be saved today. And if you're a Christian this morning, let me say this. We need to be His witnesses today, do we not? We need to be His witnesses. We need to tell others that the time is at hand. That is our theme for the whole year. Let me ask you, are you going to be a witness in the month of December? I wonder if anyone's going to turn up next Saturday. Let me be honest with you, last time we had letterboxing, a handful of ladies, God bless them, turned up, and a couple of men. And these weren't the youngest ladies in our church. Excuse me. Where is Coastline Baptist Church in their witness today? Do we not need to reach out into our community? Do we not need to witness to our friends and family? Do we not need to preach the gospel? That is our challenge at the return of Jesus Christ. As He comes to reign on earth, He needs to reign in our hearts today. Christian, does the Lord reign upon your heart? Is He the Lord of your heart? Let's be honest, even we can be deceived by the lies of the devil. Live for the things of this world. Forget there is a lake of fire and a millennium coming, and be so caught up with everything else that we lose sight of why we are here. Let me encourage you. Don't quit your job. Be a witness at your workplace. Amen. Don't leave school. Be a witness in the school that God has put you. Amen. Go hide in a hole somewhere. Amen. Share the gospel with everyone that's in your life right now. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. And if you allow the Lord to reign in your heart today, we don't need to wait for the millennium to have peace. Amen. We can have peace in our hearts today. We can be fruitful today. We can experience the blessings of the Lord today, the joy of the Lord. We can be instructed by the Lord. We can go on. Amen. Is the Lord Jesus on the throne of your heart this morning? If you're not saved, be saved today. Please. If you are, let's live for Him together. Amen. Let's live for the Lord.